to God. God's plan. God has plan. Praise the Lord. We're glad, aren't we? He isn't like, you know, he could do anything. But I've noticed that in through the scripture, throughout, from Old Testament to New, he has all this planned out, you know. And so it follows everything that we have in the scripture that's talking about the future and the past and everything. This has all been according to the plan. And that's a really good thought, really, because we know that there's not a chance for it to get mixed up somewhere because God has the plan. You know, we've suffered losses of relatives that we dearly love, different ones, but God has a plan. He had a plan for us all, didn't he? Praise the Lord. I'm going to just mention this to you. In your songbook, you see that there's a woman's name. Her name is Mary Bodie. Most of you know about her. When I went to Bible school all those umpteen years ago, Mary Bodie was our main prophecy teacher, and she was 83 years old. And she had this big, you know, home that she had been a wealthy woman before the Lord revealed himself to her. And she gave that big house to be the place for the Bible school to be. I'll never forget her because she was so spiritual. She was a woman that prayed and really sought the Lord for everything. I mean, we could hear her praying all kinds of, she was had her rooms on the second floor. And there was a lot, it's a big, huge house thing. And but you could hear her praying way in the midnight, and you could hear her praying in the daytime. I don't think she hardly ever stopped praying. She prayed all the time. And a very, very good teacher and preacher. So I think of her every once in a while, especially when I see her name in our Grace and Glory songbook, and you see that. See, she couldn't sing worth a penny. Of course, I was singing because I've sung all my life. So we had, you know, we were teaching the other kids how to sing and all that stuff. But my dear, dear sister Bodie, she wrote poetry. And boy, did the Lord give her poetry, everything imaginable. And Brother Copley was the one that often, and there were other people too, but Brother Copley was one man that really knew music. That's why you see his name, A.S. Copley. He wrote music, and he took her poetry and made it into music. And that song today, I'm going to just mention this, the song that Sister requested about, what was the name of that song now? The Songs in the Night. That was your grandma that wrote that. Bonnie's grandma. She wrote that. Isn't that amazing? Look at that over here on this side when you get a chance. That's why Bonnie loves that song so much. Her grandpa and people under her and her uncles and different one were all grace preachers up in Topeka. There's no really grace meeting in Topeka now. That's really sad because there used to be a number. But praise the Lord for those that brought forth the Word of God and wrote the Scripture. And the Lord wrote songs through them. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless the Word today. Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, Lord, for the preciousness that we have in Jesus Christ of people who gave their life, Lord, who dedicated their life supremely to the work of the ministry, Father, in teaching and in helping and in helping others. Father, we will never forget. We praise you for that goodness and mercy. And we ask you to bless this word this morning, Father. Just help us to have peace in our hearts and victory through all that we hear. In Jesus' holy name. Boy, I'm thankful that God had a plan for the church, aren't you? Yes. He isn't a God that, you know, just decides, okay, today I think we'll do so and so. This was all planned before the foundation of the world, that God would have all of these things that he would do. Well, we see that where it says church, The word church in the Bible has a meaning of an assembly or a gathering. That's what a word for church in the Greek, ekklesia, if I'm pronouncing it right. It means an assembly or a gathering. And so that's what we have here. We have an assembly of people that come together and meet, and we gather together here because this is what God has ordained for us. And most of us that were here when this part of this thing was built, we all know how God worked. Honestly, this was an amazing thing. We did not beg for money. We did not call up people and say we're in a disaster and our building's about to fall down, and it was the old building. God did it. God has a plan, and he performs that plan. And it's wonderful. The people of God worked. We all worked. Some worked harder, like Brother Jerry and all this woodwork and all that cabineting in there and everything. Thank God. Thank God that people could do this. And many of you worked on this. We know that. And we thank God for that. Praise the Lord. So he has a plan. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We know that most of you here already know the Word of God, you know, really well. And you know that the Apostle Paul, who God ordained to be the apostle of this church age, he went to the Gentiles, where most of the people that were the disciples did not go to the Gentiles. They went to the people of Israel that were scattered here and there and other places. But the Apostle Paul wrote here to the Ephesian people. And we're going to begin reading in chapter 4. So beginning in verse 1, let's read that together. You don't need to read it, just listen and read from it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. The word beseech there in the Greek, it actually says, I exhort you, I entreat you. He was speaking to their inner self, the Lord in them, speaking to them, saying, it's high time that you walk worthy of this vocation. What is vocation? Most of us know that. It actually in the Greek means the calling. God has called all of us to follow. Called us to follow Apostle Paul's teaching. There are 14 books of the New Testament, most of you know that Apostle Paul wrote. He went to the Gentiles, as we said a while ago. And so we are beseeched that we walk worthy of this calling that we have, wherewith you are called. Yes, it's not a matter of saying, I am called and everybody else is not called. That's not our part at all. In fact, verse 2 really gives the explanation. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. The word forbearing means to put up with somebody. That's hard. I've had a few of them in my lifetime. Other Christian people didn't act very Christian. But God says you are to forbear one another. He speaks that through Apostle Paul. With lowliness and meekness, with long suffering with others, forbearing, putting up with one another in love. And that actually is the big thing, is the love of God that Jesus Christ has given to us. When we receive Jesus Christ, one of the characteristics of Christ is love, the most important, I think. Loving other people, even when they treat you bad, even when they're down on you or whatever. And Roy and I have had those kind of people before. So we're very thankful to have this group of people who respect us. But there were people who tried to undermine the ministry where we're in different places. But God gives us this with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now I'll tell you this little story. I didn't intend to. But there was a person who really undermined us in a ministry long time ago. when our children were still little bitty kids. And this person undermined us. He left, and then he came back, and he undermined. He went to all of the people and tried to get them to all turn us away, that we couldn't pastor, you know, and so forth. It was so difficult. We moved from there. We didn't stay. And later, went to a camp meeting up in Denver, and there comes that man and sits right in front of us. We were sitting there enjoying the meeting. All of a sudden, here he comes in and sits right there in front of us in that seat. And I was back there going, you know, because he hurt us so much in the way he was acting. Roy was very ill at that time. And, you know, we were trying our best to carry on, and he was undermining. And the Lord spoke to me. I have a relative, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I have a relative that left her husband, married a man that didn't know much of the word. Just amazing, you know. And I forgave her, finally. But you know what the Lord spoke to me that day? I was sitting there, and that guy was in the back of us. The Lord spoke to me and said, "You forgive your sister, but you won't forgive me." And I probably even told you that part, but anyway. And it really did speak to me. I thought, yes, Lord, it's true. This person really hurt us. And you know, I just can't forgive them for all of the things they did. And boy, the Lord wouldn't let me go at that. just kept speaking to me. So after the service was over, I went where I saw that person standing. And I told him, I said, "I want to forgive you. And I'm here to tell you that I love you in the Lord and that I want to forgive you." That's what it means to be long-suffering and with meekness and forbearing one another. Do you know what that word forbearing means? To put up with. Have you ever had anybody you've had to put up with? Yeah, we have all had those kind of trials and tests. But praise the Lord that the Lord gives us strength to bear up and know. It's not Christ-like to go around with the grudge, see. And I was okay until I saw this person. And he sat right in front of us. Oh, yeah. See, the old devil's at work saying, yeah, remember what he did? You remember what he said? Do you remember this? Yeah, but the Lord said, no, this is not what I want. You're to put up with others and forgive one another. And notice it says to endeavor, endeavor. Now we can look at that. We can say, well, to endeavor, it just means we kind of try. Sometimes things are really hard to forgive. But he wants us to spend some time and energy doing the things of God, being in yieldedness to God. So endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? He helps us to forgive things that have hurt us that other people have done. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." Are you a particular person? You are in the scripture. The word actually means allotment or share or piece or portion. You are members in proportion, in allotment, how God has given you, whatever it is he's given you to do. Some of us he's called to preach. Others he's called us to teach. Others he's called us to be faithful to the meeting, come to meetings, sit here, listen to the word. See, so there are things that God endeavors to do in us to bring us to this place of complete yieldedness. Praise the Lord. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you don't need to do there. It says, "You are the body of Christ and members in particular," I just said, allotted the part that you represent. God has allotted that for you. He has shared it with you. That's your piece peace and portion, P-I-E-C-E, where God wants you to dwell, what you are to do. Praise the Lord. And then in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says, the head of every man is Christ. The word man there doesn't mean just men and not women. The head of every one of us as believers are looking to Christ as the head of this church, the head of not just this church, but the whole body of Christ that has been from the very beginning of Christ's death on the cross. All that are born again, all that are saved, no matter what denomination they are, if they really believe in Jesus as their Savior, they are part of this body of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We don't have to be weird and say, well, I could never even speak to those people because they don't believe like me. No, we can show love. The other day when I met one of the brothers that had been real sick in the hospital, I met him outside of a store, and oh, I was so thankful to see him because they've been praying for him from one of the other churches. And, oh, he was just beaming. He got out of the chair, out of the car. They don't really believe in divine healing. So he got out of the car and he said, I know somebody's been praying for me because I am really doing a lot better. I said, thank the Lord, because I had really been praying for him. Praise the Lord. So glory to God. Christ is the head of the church, hallelujah, to every person that believes in Christ. In Ephesians 1:22, it says this, put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things in the church. That's what the Word of God wants us to do, to put all things under Christ's feet. It's not up to us to judge other people and say, you know, oh, they're not right and, you know, they're carnal and whatever. It's our place to pray and seek God, that God will help people that don't know all of the Word, that need teaching, and pray that the Lord will lead them and show them the way. Hallelujah. He is the one that puts everything under God. The Father does this. He puts everything under Christ's feet. And he gives him to be the head over all things to the church. That's what it says, Ephesians 1:22. He's the one we look to, the Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved Lord. Praise the Lord, our Savior. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:23. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body, the Savior. That's what position our Lord Jesus Christ has. And of course, he is the husband, isn't he? Because later he's going to have a bride. He's going to be the husband of that group. The Bible talks about that in numbers of places. If you have any desire to know about it, just sometime ask me. We'll go through that. But praise the Lord. When it says the word church, the head of the church, the word church there, in the meaning of it, what church means, it means the called out ones. So if you say, well, I don't particularly believe in the Lord, but I belong to such and such church, that's not what the word means. The church is the name of the persons who are the called out ones. They are what the scripture says calls the saints of the Lord, the ones who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Praise the Lord. Let's look in Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we'll see a meaning here that is a really good thought. Colossians is that way. If you're standing up here on me, it's back further in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. So in Colossians 1:18, let's read that. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, can hardly read it just to not read all of it, but in verse 15, it says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created, that all that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or all things, they were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things exist. This just pretty much tells us exactly who Jesus Christ is. But notice in verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now, he was the first one to be resurrected of this church age. He was born, he came down as a little baby and everything. He grew up, he became the sacrifice. He went to the grave, he was resurrected from the grave. And he became the head of the body, the church. He was the firstborn from the dead. All of us, if we go and pass away from this life and we go and we are put in the grave, one of these days, because we know the Lord is our Lord and Savior, we're going to be resurrected from that grave. Praise the Lord. We're going to be, he's the firstborn, see, from the dead. We're going to be those who believe in him, and we will be raised from the dead. It says, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. There's another one of those words that King James uses, the preeminence. I think all of us know what preeminent means. In this case, it's written in Greek. I don't know Greek very much, a little bit, not very much. But the word in Greek means to be first in rank and in influence. Okay, so Jesus Christ, he has the preeminence. In other words, in time and place and in order. He is the preeminent one. He's the one that governs everything. He is the boss. We are to be obedient to him. We are to let him be preeminent in our life. Be first in rank. In other words, nothing takes the place of Jesus Christ. Nothing, nothing, not one bit of anything should come before Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that there is in our life since we know the Lord Jesus. And he is going to greatly reward those who have preeminently let him rule their life. You know, we're all human. There are times that we want to say, hey, I don't want to do that. You ever had that feeling like the Lord's leading you to do something and you don't really want to do it? But the Lord wants us to be obedient. He wants us to put him first. And in this meaning that I got from one of the texts to look that up, it said that he is to be first in rank because he's the Messiah, he's the Christ, he's the one that we worship. He died for us. But the other one, he's to be first in influence. That's what it says. He is to be first in influence, okay? So as we walk in our life, we are to let Christ be number one. We should be obedient to his guidance, to his will for our life. It's the only way of happiness. Praise the Lord. It's the only way that you can be happy in your life. You find that out, that to really yield our life to the Lord and just let him govern everything and be obedient to his will in your life, it's the best way. It's a wonderful way. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.